chapter number 3. It should be on the screen there for you. Look at verse number 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. When he touched him, his leprosy was cleansed. Now, look down at verse number 14 and watch this one. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. Peter's mother-in-law is sick. Verse 15, and he, Jesus, touched her, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. A lot of people have asked me, said, why did Peter deny the Lord 3 times? It's because the Lord healed his mother-in-law. In these 2 different stories, now I said all that, everybody's got your attention hopefully, but there's 2 stories right here. In the first one, we see Jesus cleansing a leper. Notice he doesn't heal the leper. He cleanses the leper, because leprosy is a type of sin, and Jesus just don't heal us from sin. He cleanses us from sin. And then in the next story, you see Jesus touching Peter's mother-in-law, and she got cured. So we see that the Lord Jesus Christ is the master over sin and sickness. Just by the very touch of the Master's hand. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning for allowing us to be here. It is good to laugh and, Lord, enjoy each other and Christian fellowship. And God, I pray for the next few minutes you give us clarity of thought and try to bring this thought home to the people. I pray that now in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Now, this is just 2 stories in Matthew chapter number 8. We see him touching a leper, and he got cleansed. We see Jesus touching Peter's mother-in-law, and she got cured just by the simple touch. But here, let me show you. Look at Matthew chapter number 9. It's going to be on the screen there for you. I told you it's going to be a little different, so stay with me. Matthew chapter number 9 and verse number 27. And when Jesus departed thence, 2 blind men followed him, crying, saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto him, Believe ye, I am able to do this. And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened just by the simple touch of the Master's hand. So in the first story, we see somebody getting cleansed. The second story, we see somebody getting cured. And now we see somebody having clarity of sight just by the simple touch. But not only that, in Matthew 17, Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus takes the disciples, and in verse number 5, he said, While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased, hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. Jesus came and touched them. And said, arise, be not afraid. You know, the first story, we see somebody that has been cleansed. We see Peter's mother-in-law being cured. We see the 2 blind men giving clarity of sight. Now we see the disciples, when Jesus touched them, they were calmed. all of their fears, all of their anxiety, everything they had was calmed by the touch of the Master's hand. Now, let me go over here to Luke chapter number 7 real quick. Luke chapter number 7, I'm going somewhere. You may not know, but I'm going somewhere. Now, Luke chapter number 7 and verse number 12. Now, when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, and the only son of his mother, she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bear. The casket, when the casket was coming by, Jesus just reached out and touched. I'm going somewhere. You may not know where I'm going, but I'm going somewhere. He just reached out and touched the casket, and they that bare him stood still, and he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. So not only do we see the touch of the Master's hand curing somebody and cleansing somebody and calming somebody and giving a clarity of thought, but not only that, he will change you from death unto life. And then after that, you'll see in Matthew chapter number 20 and verse number 32, and Jesus stood still and called him and said, what will you? These are two more blind men. And they said unto him, Lord, that our eyes be opened. They said unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. Now these guys, when they got touched, they changed their course. They was going this way, and when Jesus touched their eyes, they said, Jesus, where are you going? We're going wherever you're going. When they got touched, they changed their whole course and started walking a different way. Everything that I've just mentioned to you is a picture and a type of what the Lord Jesus Christ done for you when he touched you. When he touched you, he cleansed you. When he touched you, he can cure you. When he touched you, he can give you clarity of eyesight. When he touched you, he can calm your nerves. When he touched him, he can change you from death unto life. And when he touches you, he can change your course to where you walk a different direction. The old song says, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that fills my soul. Something happened. And now I know. He touched me and made me whole. Now, that's all introduction. I passed by Johnny a while ago and he said, don't preach no 2 hours. That was just introduction. So don't get nervous. Every one of these, he touched somebody. I got to thinking, just sitting, driving down the road, which I spend most of my time driving the road, I'm thinking, you can't touch something. Sammy, you can't touch something without leaving a fingerprint. You can't touch something without there being proof that you was there. Tommy, I'm going somewhere. Anytime you touch something, there is a part of you that is left behind. Fingerprints are proof that you have been there. Fingerprints are proof that you were a part of whatever was going on at that particular time. I got to looking, and there are 3 different kinds of fingerprints. 3 kinds of fingerprints that I looked up. Now, we have some folks in here, Jeff and I know Keith, they have law enforcement background and they spent a lot of their years in law enforcement and some of this stuff they will know. But there's these 3 different kinds of fingerprints and I started looking. And the first one of these fingerprints is called a plastic. This fingerprint is called a plastic. They said that it's left behind most of the time in mud or in clay. Like if a truck goes through the mud. They see a tire track impression. Something has impressed the mud and leaves an indention or impression that it had been there. And I got to looking. It changes the mud into whatever that it touched. I got to thinking over there in Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 7. The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground. Mud. Boy, I wish I had some Bible readers here this morning. In Genesis chapter 2 verse 7, and the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God Almighty is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And when he put his fingerprint on you, he put his image, his impression on Adam's life. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So then he made man. God formed man, the dust of the ground. That's body. He breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. That's soul. And man, or spirit, and man became a living soul. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, body, soul, and spirit. He made Adam in the image. He impressed him. He put his fingerprint on the human race. He left his fingerprints right here on, the Bible says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, let me pause and say this right quick. I know I don't have to tell y'all this, but there might be somebody listening that is confused. God don't make any mistakes when he creates somebody. He don't create a man and make a mistake, and then eventually this man, he says, I'm a man trapped in a woman's body. That don't happen. It don't happen that God has put his fingerprint on you, and this woman decides later on, she says, I'm a man trapped in a woman's body, or a woman trapped in a man's body. God don't make a mistake. You say, preacher, I'm confused. I'm battling this thing. I'm telling you, the devil is whispering in your ear and telling you what is against God Almighty. He left his fingerprint. You say, preacher, I don't know. I got verses. Oh, I got verses. Jeremiah 1:5. It's on the screen there for you. Watch this. Before I formed thee in the where? I knew thee. Somebody said, what about abortion? What about abortion? The Bible's very clear on that. God, or, well, that ain't a human life till it breaks. My friend, that Bible says God knew you in the belly before he formed you, before he put his fingerprints of God's amazing grace on you and formed you from the mud. Ladies and gentlemen, he knew you before you ever got here. Isaiah 44 and verse number 27, thus the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heaven alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth all by myself. These fingerprints leaves an impression. And it forms and takes on whatever it touches. Tire tracks. What if you was to step in something? They could say, hey, that's a size 12 right there. Or that's a size 3. Or whatever it is. God impressed upon you when he made you just like you are. And God don't make any mistakes. Then the second type of fingerprints that I found. Now, you may not like that one. Boy, I hope you like this one. Not only is it a plastic fingerprint, but this type is what they call a patent print. It is visible to the eye. And Jeff, it's what they said. When I looked it up, it's what they said. They said this kind of fingerprint is visible to the eye, and it's usually left behind in blood or in ink. Where's my Pentecostal side at? When this one is left behind, it's either left in blood or ink. when they do a crime scene and they go in there and look at a crime scene and somebody's committed a crime, they usually have blood on their hands and they'll touch a door frame or a doorknob or whatever. And when you go in, you can physically see that somebody has been here and they left behind a fingerprint. Not only did God put His fingerprint on when He formed you in the belly, but when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, that image fell. So on Christmas, Almighty God sends His very own begotten Son into this world. That's why the virgin birth is so important. So He bypasses the man. He goes straight to the woman. No man involved. That way, the DNA that is running through Jesus' body is straight from His heavenly Father. And so now when Jesus sheds His blood on the cross, He comes down and says, let me just put my fingerprint on the human race, and anybody that will come, I will reach out and touch them and leave behind evidence. I will leave behind evidence that I've been there. They said that it was either left by blood or ink. They said when somebody touches something, got bloody hands or whatever, it leaves a transfer. It leaves a blood transfer on whatever it touches. They say when you go into a crime scene, there's DNA everywhere. When you walk into this church, there ought to be DNA everywhere that Jesus has been. When you look at a person's life, there ought to be DNA everywhere and fingerprints all over them where God has touched them, and there should be evidence that Jesus has been there. That Bible says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. It's by the blood. The only way a person can get to heaven is through the shed blood of the cross of Calvary. Jesus couldn't have been hung from a tree. He couldn't have been. There was only one way for Jesus to die, and that was to shed His blood so you and I could have a way to go to heaven. It's always been by the blood. Hebrews 9:22 says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. The world should be able to see the blood fingerprints on your life. When you go to work, you shouldn't have to tell them you're a Christian. There ought to be fingerprints all over you that He has been there. Now, this ain't going over too good, but I'm too far into it now to turn back. When you go to school, young people, there ought to be evidence. You'll not have to say that I'm a Christian, I'm a believer. They ought to say, well, the DNA's all over you. Well, that one didn't go over too good. But then they said this. They said, not only this kind of fingerprint is left in blood or ink. Now, sometimes you will see something like this where somebody, now some of y'all know a little bit about this. Some of y'all have had to go, don't raise your hand, don't look at your neighbor. But you had to go in there and roll that thumb into that ink pad, and then you go on that little paper and you roll that thing out and make a good little print. Here's this patented fingerprint, and it comes in blood or ink. And there it is. Now, you say, preacher, how in the world you going to get something out of this? I'm just here to tell you. Not only when He came, did He leave His fingerprint in blood, but He also gave us His fingerprints in ink. That's better preaching than what y'all are amening to. Because when He left us His Word, there are His fingerprints of God's amazing grace all over this. This is God's DNA in one infallible, perfect, without error book. And so this is what they told me. Well, let me give you a verse for that. Over there in Deuteronomy chapter number 9, the Lord, this is Moses. Y'all remember Moses? Moses. The Lord delivered unto me 2 tablets of stone written with the, what? The very finger of God. Wrote those 2 commandments. Well, that book you have in your lap, if you got a good one. Now, if you got one that's got verses left out of it, see me after church. I can help you. I can get you a good one that got fingerprints on it. Now, this is what they told me. They said that the police, when they go into a crime scene, they find a fingerprint. And they will lift that fingerprint and they will go back to the headquarters and run that through a database to see if they get a match. They will run that and say, well, if anybody's ever been in trouble, that will run back to them because you're the only one's got the fingerprints you got. And so when Jesus said, he's only got one set. And so if he's been there, it ought to run back to it. And so somebody said, well, preacher, how do you know that you're right and everybody else is wrong? I run it through the database. Somebody said, you think the Baptists are all the ones? I don't even think half of them are going to heaven. But somebody said, well, you know there's no hell. All right, I take that fingerprint, I run it through the database, and the database says, not a match. When the Jehovah's Witness, they come knock on my door, Jehovah's Witness come on knock on my door. I said, all right, tell me. I said, what I do? That's how I make a deal with you. I give you 15 minutes to talk. After you talk 15 minutes, you have to let me talk 15 minutes. They get their talk. I said, all right, let me take that fingerprint and let me run it through my database and see if I find a match. If I don't find a match, then Jesus hadn't been there. You see, that's why this is so important. People say, well, I'm so confused. You just got to study the database. And this fingerprint, this patent print, is either left in blood or in ink. And I'm hoping and praying that you've had the blood of Jesus Christ impressed upon your life. And then he gives it to you in ink so you'll never be confused and tossed about with every wind of doctrine to and fro, not knowing where to go. Say, preacher, how do you know? I run it through the database to see if there is a match. Run it through this ink process. Well, now, let me get to this last print. We've had the plastic, that's mud, clay, some kind of surface like that. And then you have a patent print, which is visible to the eye, and it's usually in blood or in ink. All right, then this next one is what they call a latent print, L-A-T-E-N-T, a latent print, which is not visible to the naked eye. But what it does... It leaves behind an oily residue. Oh, y'all ain't with me this morning, hallelujah, but I'm going to enjoy my own preaching while I'm a-preaching it. This one right here is invisible to the naked eye, but then when they look, there is an oily substance that comes off of your skin that is transferred to whatever you have touched. And long after you've done gone and touched it, 2 or 3 days later, the oil is still there. Well, let me take my glasses off. Some of you look better that way. Hallelujah. Not only did he touch you and it's visible to the eye in blood and in ink, but not only did he leave us that way, when he did leave us, he touched me. And left behind an oily residue called the Holy Spirit of God that never leaves. He's always there. Even when Jesus left and went back to heaven, he said, I'm not going to leave you fingerprintless. I'm not going to leave you without a fingerprint. You say, preacher, is that in the Bible? Well, yeah, somewhat. John 14, look here. I pray the Father, and He will give you another Comforter. He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but He knoweth Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Down there in verse number 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And then verse number 26, He says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things, bring all things to remembrance, whatever I said unto you. The Holy Spirit of God, ladies and gentlemen, not only did He save me, not only did He cleanse me, not only did He cure me, not only did He give me clarity of sight, not only did He give me all of these different things, and He calms me and all of these, He changes my course and changes my direction and changes me from death into life, but He leaves me with His sweet Holy Spirit, His fingerprints all over my life, and that oily substance runs right back to where it come from. To the Father. That's what they said. Long after the person's gone, the oil still remains. Somebody said, well, I'm going to tell you. I said, are you saved? Well, I'm trying to be. Are you saved? Well, I think so. Are you saved? Are you on your way to heaven? Boy, I hope so. Well, maybe so. I said, well, let me change it around like this. Are you married? Well, I think so. Are you married? I'm afraid so. You know the date when you were born the first time. You ought to know. Now, you ain't got to know the date, the time, the hour. People say, well, I was born again January the whatever this thing. It was 2:03 in the afternoon, da-da-da. I don't know about that, ladies and gentlemen, but you better know exactly where it happened. You ain't got to know a date and time, but you got to know exactly in my mind. I don't remember what year it was. I don't know what time of day it was. I know that right there is where He touched me and He made me whole. And He left behind an oily residue fingerprint. Matter of fact, He said this. He said, I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, let me say this. I'm coming down to the close. And like I said, it's a little different, but this is what I had. They come up with this right here. They said now they've got touch DNA. Touch DNA. They said you leave your DNA behind every time you touch something. You leave a little bit of yourself behind every time you touch somebody. You leave a little bit of yourself behind when you touch something. Usually in this room right now, when we get up, there's probably hair follicles. There's proof you've been here. You won't get any hair prodigals from me. But there's going to be evidence that you was at church today. And in your life, there's going to be evidence that Jesus has touched you. There's going to be evidence that He touched you. You remember sometime the old timers, especially the old timey churches I grew up in, somebody'd be up there singing or somebody'd be up there preaching, and you'd hear some of them old timers say, touch Him, Lord. Touch Him, Lord. You say, what they saying? They want God to reach down and leave just a little bit of Himself behind when He passes through. My friend. Now, that Bible says, I already told you, but you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God don't make any mistakes. Y'all agree with me?
Amen.
God put you together. When I was preparing this, the first time I ever preached it, I'm going to have to work on it a little better before I take it out on the revival road. But I always try them out on y'all first. And Sammy, I was sitting there and I was going over there, and I was at some place this week, and the guy just, I wanted to conversate, and I'm trying to read something, and he's conversating. He said, "Hey, what'd you do?" So I'm a preacher, this, that, and the other. And he said, "Oh, I'm a Christian too." And I said, "Oh, that's good." And he said, "What are you going to preach on?" I said, "Well, I'm going to talk about the fingerprints of God." And he said, "Oh, that's a wonderful, wonderful thing, because I am a biologist and I study all of that molecular cells that goes on in the body." I said, "Well, that's good." I said, "But I don't know if I need to work all that into my sermon." I said, "We from the country." And he says, "Well, you got to, when you end, you got to be able to tell them about this molecular structure in the body." I said, "You know where Mills Field is? We don't even know what a biologist is over there." He said, "Well, you got to tell them. You got to tell them about this laminin. L-A-M-I-N-I-N. I said, "I don't even know how to spell it." He wrote on a little card. He said, "L-A-M-I-N-I-N. He said, "You tell them about that." I said, "I don't know if I can tell my people about that." So I got, he said, "Google it." I said, "Pull my phone out and I Google it." I Googled it. L-A-M-I-N-I-N. I said, "What is this?" He said, "This is what they call a cell adhesive molecule." He said, "Preacher, let me explain it to you this way. Your mama had a cell that met up with your daddy's cell, and they come together. She provided 23 chromosomes, and your daddy provided 23 chromosomes. They come together and started working on your DNA code." I said, "That's good." I said, "You got me." He said, "This laminin, out of all the 75 trillion cells running through your body, this one right here holds it all together." He said, "This one holds everything. Makes your skin stay on your body. Makes your heart stay over here to the left. It makes your feet stay on your body. It makes your eyelids stay where they are." And I said, "Well, now I can put a verse to that. I can't put a verse to that, because over there in Colossians it says, 'For by him were all things created. They're in heaven, earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, things created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist.'" Now what's that mean? Word "consist" means all things. God holds them together with his very own touch. I said, "You mean to tell me this cell, out of 75 trillion cells in your body, running through your body, this one out here holds everything together?" He said, "It sure does." I looked at him. I said, "Wow." I said, I might can show my people this. And y'all are wanting to see it. In your body right now, where God has touched you, whether you've been saved or hadn't been saved, whether you go to church or don't go to church, God is holding you together by his very own hand. Whether you ever get saved or not, God says, "I'm still going to hold you together. Whether you want to be in my heaven or not, I'm going to hold you together." I looked that up, and this is what I saw. I saw this, and I said, "That'll preach. The cross of Jesus Christ is holding you all together." Now, you say, "Now, preacher, I know it don't look like that running through your body." And I said, "You know, I may have some smart people in Millsfield. And they may say, well, it don't look like that. I say, can you send me one that the actual cell runs through your body? He said, yeah. And that's what it looks like. Right there. Cross. It's holding all. That's why it's called an adhesive molecule. It's holding everything together. So the song is true. You said, preacher, this... I said, what can you relate this thing to? What can you relate it to? He said, well, you know, when they pour concrete, they put rebar in there to hold. So this cell running through your body is the rebar. It's holding everything together. I said, hallelujah. So it is true, Sammy, that he did touch me. And he made me whole. Give him that song right there. Let's see if we can sing this together. Shackled by a heavy burden, neath the load of guilt and shame. What'd he do? Touch me. And now I am no longer. Let's all stand. Let's sing it. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And all the joy that floods my soul. I remember when something happened. Something.